This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. So they arrived in the region of Gerasenes, across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. This spirit had often taken control of the man. Even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people in the region of Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town, proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God.
Shall we pray? Dear God, I ask you to be with me as I say these words that you give me to say, and that I say them the way that you want me to say, dear Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. Several weeks ago, when I got a call from Pastor Trish, wanted to know if I'd cover for her while she's on vacation for 3 weeks. I said, "Sure, no problem. I can do that for you." Well, the next thing she says, "Oh, by the way, Vicki, one of the weeks you're going to be covering is Father's Day. Another chance to pick on your dad." I was even more all eager to do it then. Then she heard my scripture and she's like, "Vicki, I just can't wait to hear how you can somehow combine your dad and demons." I said, "Well, Pastor Trish, Jesus did drive the demons out of the man." But Dad did not hear any of this sermon before Mount Union. And what I said out there, I will say again, and for most of you that know my dad and I, it's going to be totally unexpected what I'm about to say. And I will say it again. Dad, thank you for all you've done, and I love you. I know, totally unexpected for most of you. But you were a good example while I was growing up, Dad. But when I first started working on this sermon, I had this morning scripture all picked out. I was going to do Luke. And then I thought, no, I can't do Luke. I don't want to do this. So I went to Lori and said, "Lori, I changed it to Galatians this time, just to give you a heads up for the children's." So a week later, I go back, "Lori, never mind. I'm back to Luke again." Because I kept going, I started writing down all these reasons I didn't want to do this scripture. And then, you know, I was writing them down, right? Next thing I know, I've got the sermon pretty much written as to why I didn't want to do it. But somehow I could not get any idea how to talk about demons. I'm not saying I don't believe in demons or the power that Jesus definitely has over demons, because I do believe in demons. I've had talk with friends about demons, and I've asked around people that believe in them, and every person I've asked said yes, they do believe in demons. And I was watching a recent Billy Graham's sermon. He said 70% of people believe there is a Satan. This week I also saw on TV, flipped into one first words I saw in the program, 70% of people believe in hell. I guess maybe this is God's way of telling me to stick with what he first taught me, not try to fight him. God has angels as his workers, so it only stands to reason that Satan would also have his workers, his followers. In fact, the dictionary defines demons as fallen angels. In Revelations 12:9, it states, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. True angels, real angels that are loyal to God, his angels keep us safe and guide us in the correct way where we are supposed to go. But there are also demons that are present, and they try to lead us the total opposite away from Jesus and away from Christ. If you think about it, it could be various forms of demons. It could be what we think of as demons, or as it said in the scripture, they were tossed from heaven as God's angels. But they're the devil's followers. So you think about angels as we think about God's followers, they're beautiful. But I think the demons need to go in whatever form they need to get into us. But they're in our lives every single day. But Jesus helps fight them every single day. They could be actual demons as we think about them, or it could be demons in the form of addiction, depression, or just leading our minds astray. I've heard the saying many times, he or she has their own personal demons in their life. Satan throws all he can at each and every one of us who are followers of Christ. If he sees this little hole in our armor, he goes, aha, that's my spot to get in there. I can lead them the way I want them to go. As he had with Jesus when he was on the mountain, Satan tempted Jesus with food and power. He also tries to tempt each one of us every day. He preys on our money, with power, with beauty, with any kind of greed he can think of. Any way he can succeed, he is there. He knew that Jesus was going to change the whole world, but not in a good way for him. And he also knows that we can change the world. Each one of us sitting here today. I'm not saying any one of us is going to start a new religion or have millions of followers, but what can we do? We can change one person's life and lead that person to Christ, have another person lead someone to Christ, and so on and so forth. Once you learn the pattern, you don't break the chain. As we bring believers to Christ, that's more that's taken away from Satan's followers. And that has to change him, knowing that we got the power over him, that we can take away his followers. As I said at Mount Union, that's kind of cool, knowing that Satan can be afraid of my powers, of all of our powers, to lead people in the correct direction. But in this morning's scripture, even the demons knew that Jesus had the power over them. Notice they begged him not to be sent to the abyss. They feared him. But also, notice one thing. Our loving Jesus gave the demons what they wanted. He did not send them to the dark abyss. He sent them into the pigs. He really did give them what they wanted. And then the town people, when they were told what had happened, they came running back to town, or back to where this man was. This man that was once naked, wouldn't keep clothes on, they had to keep chained. This man was sitting calmly at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, listening to his teaching. The townspeople were afraid, but why were they afraid? Was it because their food was gone? Was it because the source of their income was gone? Or was it because they feared the power of Jesus? These men were raising pigs. Was it because they were not Jews? Or was it because they had gone against the law of Moses for their love of money? The one thing we would never know is that. But they had to fear Jesus there, didn't they? Or not fear Jesus to begin with. And then when they saw the power of Jesus, what he could do, how he could change a life, they became scared. The townspeople asked Jesus to leave town. And he did leave town. And every commentary I read for studying in this said that Jesus does not stay where he is not wanted. That one really had me thinking, how can a loving Jesus not stay? Well, After I thought about it enough time, maybe that's the thing. If we tell Jesus to leave, he leaves. But if we ask him to come back, he's definitely back with us. And the unknown can be scary to all of us, anytime, any place. Well, you know, it wasn't the townspeople, but when we ask Jesus to come back, that unknown isn't nearly as dark or scary as it was before. Well, I have talked a lot about demons this morning. That is not the main point of this morning's sermon. You may be asking right now, okay, Vicki, what is the main purpose of this morning's? But each one of us here this morning, the main point could be something different. It could be every time you hear it, it is something different. Every time you read it, it is something different. It depends on the person and where you are in your life. Because Jesus talks to each one of us separately. He knows each of our hearts, and he knows the message we need to hear at the certain time when we need to hear the message. The Bible was, yes, I believe what the Bible says, but that book was written for us, not just to be put away. I remember Sam saying one time about going to people's house to see a Bible laying around somewhere. He says, the only problem is sometimes I forget to take the dust off of it first. That's not good. That's where we get the power that Jesus puts in us, the power that God puts in us. It comes from that Bible. And the story of Jesus putting the demons into the swine was so important that three of the disciples wrote about it in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For me today, that scripture is showing us the power that God has through his son Jesus, the power over all, the power that I need in my life. There was a man there that was the townspeople thought was beyond all hope. They kept him chained. They had to fear him, probably even mocked him. Because I'm sure there were bullies even back in that time, mocking him because they're afraid of him. But the very words of Jesus healed him. He was changed in every way that was. But you know something? None of us here need to fear the power of Jesus, because that power that's in Jesus is working for our best. It's working in our lives. As we go through the storms that's in each and every one of our lives, he is there holding us. He is with us. He's always there saying, I'm with you. I have you. He will not leave us because we have asked him in our lives. We may have turned away from him, but we've asked him back. You may wonder, how do I know that? Because each one of you are sitting here this morning. The weather outside is beautiful. I'm sure you can think of many other places to be this morning. Cowan's Gap, Caledonia, anywhere. But just look at the power of Jesus, the power of God. He's touched everything in our lives. We had two great, this morning, Ted, 11-year marriage, a 13-year marriage, a 60-year marriage. With God in the marriage, and I know Morris and Pat have been married many years. You look at the marriages, Janine, Dick, look at the marriages with God in them. They're the ones that stay together. The love of God is in every aspect of each one of our lives. But what do we need to do still? We need to listen closer as God whispers, I am with you. I have you. I have your back. There is not one single problem that we can't handle together. God made the heavens and the earth and all that we see. This little minor problem we have in our lives that we think's major, it's not. It's minor in God's hands. He created it all, so he can handle it all. The man who had the demons chased out of him wanted to travel with Jesus, wanted to become a disciple. But Jesus told him, no, go home and declare how much God has done for you. What had God done for him? He gave him his whole world back. He gave him his life back. There are many of us here today that could probably say, God gave me my life back. The book of Mark says this man went on to become a preacher. He listened and followed the words that God had spoken to him. Do we listen to God? Do we listen to the words he speaks to us? Do we see the signs he gives to us? Or do we say, no, that's just my imagination. God won't speak to me. Little things. Seeing a flower outside, seeing a bird. God speaks to us in each of us different ways, but he does speak to us. And he has definitely healed us. The angels are with us, keeping us safe, healing us many times, probably before we even knew we were sick, keeping things from entering our bodies. That is God. We see God being with Mary through her accident. I saw pictures of that car. God was with her in that vehicle. God was with Sarah in her accident. How many accidents did each one of us have that God made sure we walked away from, or that God kept that car from coming our direction, kept us from stumbling? That's what God does for each one of us. But as long as we can keep praising him in that storm, he will give us the strength we need to go on and remember that there's nothing in our lives that he can't handle. If Satan fears him, if the demons fear him, we can praise him. He is on our side, and we will not lose out. Amen.